Welcome to the Grim Leftovers Show with Grimnir every Monday night at 7 p.m. Eastern on RealLibertyMedia.com and RLMRadio.xyz. Hey, hey, hey.
Y'all ready for some goofball news here? I got some goofball news for you. Well, I don't know how goofball it is, but it's news. It's old news. It's stuff that I found at the very, very bottom of my read it later list. What do they call it? I forget. Reading list. It's just called reading list. Yeah. Anyway, so I dug down to the bottom, and I pulled some stuff up. Yeah. Anyway, hopefully you're all doing well out there. I can almost talk. Welcome to the show. This is the Grim Leftover Show. I am Grimnir. It is Monday, May 11, 2020. This is episode 71 of the Grim Leftover Show. Yeah, it's the 19th episode of this year. So anyway, I hope you're all doing well. Hopefully you're all staying away from other folks because, people. Anyway, oh boy, so welcome to y'all on RealLibertyMedia.com or RLMRadio.xyz. We are no longer on FreedomsNetwork.com because FreedomsNetwork.com is no longer a site. Yeah, it's actually still there, but it's hidden, and I'm not going to tell you how to get to it if you want to. But come on over to RealLiberty.org. We got the player updated on RealLiberty.org, so it'll be the latest and greatest, all that there. Exactly, Rob Works, because they all suck. I bet you Hans isn't even listening in. He never listens to this show. He's over there in Boston being one of them Boston Dynamics robots for the military. You know how he is. Anyway, hi and howdy to all the folks that are here in the chat. If you're not here in the chat, by the way, come on over, because throughout the show you can make comments about the stuff I read here and talk to the other people that are here and get the links for each story as I go through. Of course, the links will always be available later on in the blog post. So, so let me make sure I do it now here in the thing so people know that we're like now, we're now here, we're now live, and all that stuff. But say hi to the folks I see chatting here. I see Rob Works. I see JJJJs from Scotland. We got Vin E and Hansel, J Dread. Smartass. Hey, Smartass. I know you don't talk back. Mr. Rob Works. How you doing, buddy? Sock Puppet. Hey, Sock. I saw Chloe earlier. I saw Moose Girl. I think I saw Kate in here chatting. We got a whole bunch of other folks in here, but these are the ones Chloe. Hey, Chloe. I see actively chatting. I don't get to see them all because I just rebooted. So a lot of the people that were there that were chatting. Hi, all y'all there in the chat. Yeah, it's a nice group, though. So come on over to RealLibertyMedia.com and jump in the chat there, or you can do it from RLMRadio.xyz. Either one is a good place to be. Oh, my fellow inmates, let's talk about some stuff, some stories I have. First thing I'm going to do here is give you a short list of companies. And before I get to it, I'll just say before I read you the list. After you hear this list of companies, what would you think of if they were all working together as a group? Amazon, Google, Facebook, Microsoft, Akamai, I'm not even sure how you say that word. I'm not really familiar with Akamai, and Netflix, amongst others. If all those companies were working together as a group, would you think they were one way or another were somehow going to benefit you in your daily life, especially your daily life on the internet? Well, that's what they're saying they're doing. Anyway, this on slash.org, slash.tech.slash.org, on April 2nd, just a little over a month ago. So, they are working together, apparently, to improve internet routing security. Internet routing security. These people that are all known for massive spying on you are going to improve internet security. It says here, a community effort to improve the internet's routing security has won the backing of some of the web's biggest names, all those that I just read, amongst others, have signed up to the mutually agreed norms for routing security, the Manners, M-A-N-R-S group, Manners group, in their roles as content delivery networks, CDNs, and cloud providers, CPs. Manners' goal is to shore up the internet's lax security when it comes to routing people's connections around the planet. It is essentially, depending on the circumstances, too easy for miscreants. They are miscreants! Too easy for miscreants to hijack and redirect internet traffic from legit servers, meaning their servers, to malicious machines so that the web browsing and other online activities can be snooped on or meddled with. That's their job. They're the ones that want to snoop on you and meddle with you. But they're going to protect you from that. They just said so. This widespread issue is something that has become increasingly important in the past few years as the number and size of connectivity breakdowns and attacks on the global system have grown. Criminals and possibly government spies? You're all government spies, every one of you! Government spies have realized the potential that exists in snatching people's internet traffic for surveillance, disruption, and theft. Yeah, every one of you guys are doing that. Every one of you people here in this Manners group that is pushing for four main approaches, two technical and two cultural approaches, filtering, anti-spoofing, and then coordination and validation. Oh, I don't like the sound of that whatsoever. Validation? From these guys? Ho, 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 ho. No, thank you. But these guys are big, and so it's going to happen. Yeah, yeah. It's just a heads up, a warning, if you will. this is what's coming down the pipe. A tiny part of all the stuff coming down the pipe. I got some more stuff coming down the pipe. I'll share with you shortly. Water. You like water? I like water. All right. Control, what? Panopticon rising. COVID-19 and the elite enslavement plan. The elite enslavement plan. This is posted on agoristnexus.com by Jeremiah Harding, which, if you're not familiar with Jeremiah Harding, look him up over there on the Twitter if you're a Twitter guy and or girl, gal, person, human. He's a good person to follow over there, Jeremiah Harding. Anyway, on March 31st, Panopticon rising. In case you haven't heard, the world is ending. Again. Stocks are low, bears are everywhere, the dollar is suffering, the National Guard is being deployed, and governments globally mandate that territories are locked down. Territories! Lockdown! Streets are clear. Businesses shuttered. Police ordered to force people indoors. At the orders of governors, and everyone is being bombarded with the phrase, new normal. As if that's the way it should be. Why? 2019's novel coronavirus, a global pandemic, according to the WHO. And the world agrees. The world at large agrees. You and I probably don't agree. I don't agree. You probably don't agree. But the world at large does agree. Parroting whatever media, social, mainstream, and otherwise says. Treating the populations of all countries are suddenly united in subservience. All united in subservience. accepting the new order. And not the old new age band, New Order. No, this is different. This is a totally different New Order. And no matter the cost to their freedom, demanding state solutions to the issues. You mean the same state that caused the issues? Yes, them. Demanding they fix the issues they're creating. They've already created. Now, to be clear, this situation is grave. There are 536,452 active cases. That was, like I said, March 31st, so we know it's well above that now. As of that writing, 26,789 are in serious or critical condition, and 33,956 have died. Of course, those numbers are well inflated. Inflated, I say, by some means or another, probably, most likely, positively, not the real numbers. And these are just the reported numbers. It's probably much worse, but governments want to look good, even if it costs lives. I want you to take nothing in this post as downplaying the gravity of the deaths, but I'm sure you'll soon see there might be some people who see those numbers as a means to the ends of their agendas. And that's more shameful than nearly anything else this world can offer. But just to give you a little bit of contrast, those nearly 34,000 deaths are absolutely dwarfed by the 151,000 recovered or discharged. So for now, it looks like things are relatively handled. What's more, Dr. Fraudchi, a world-renowned scumbag, doctor, covering the virus from a rational point of view, had this to say recently. On the basis of a case definition requiring a diagnosis of pneumonia, the currently reported case fatality rate is approximately 2%. In another article, the journal Guan et al. Report mortality of 1.4% among 1,099 patients, that the number of asymptomatic or minimally symptomatic cases is several times as high as the number of reported cases. The case fatality rate may be considered well less than 1%. This suggests that the overall clinical consequences of COVID-19 may ultimately be more akin to those of maybe a severe seasonal flu, a mild seasonal flu, somewhere in that range, which has a case fatality rate of approximately 0.1%, or a pandemic influenza similar to those in 1957 and 1968, rather than a disease similar to SARS or MERS, which have had case fatality rates of 9 to 10% and 36% respectively. This isn't some fringe outlet with anti-government agenda. That's our job. This is the New England Journal of Medicine. The NEEGM is flat out telling you that the death rate being reported everywhere is massively, artificially high. You or I could be an asymptomatic carrier if there were enough tests to go around, or if they'd stop giving them to rich people first. We might find out where some of the potentially millions, if not billions, of zeros would do, which would drop the percentage like a rock, if fully calculated. Again, the death rates are tragic, but they are also being hijacked, manipulated, exaggerated, and politicized. And the fear, massive fear, is causing more problems than it solves. But the state loves that. As they said, let no good crisis go to waste. They've been demanding to solve this problem, and trillions have been allotted in a bipartisan deal to help them solve it. At least that's what they tell you. And Fradji? Yeah, he's not alone, nor is he a more extreme voice in the medical field here. Wolfgang Wotgard, a German MD with experience tracking viral diseases, has been an outright skeptic of the hysteria surrounding corona. He says, while looking for a specific virus, for example, the coronavirus, you can examine the total population. What you will find is that presumably around 8 or 10% of the population will have some kind of virus that makes them sick. But if you examine medical practices, do your tests there, determine who is sick, then, of course, you would find a lot more positive cases. And if you examine hospitals and take samples there, then you would find even more corona-infected people, depending on which proportions of the population you examine. Whether it's the whole population, patients in the waiting room, people in the clinic, or when you examine very ill patients in the intensive care unit that were about to die, you will expectedly find these 7 to 15% coronaviruses every time you do a test. When you look at the death rates in Italy, you want to know where the tests have been taken, where and when these few available tests have been used, and if they were used in a hospital on serious or terminally ill cases, then obviously the corona death rate rises. He concluded that it's just normal that a big part of the viruses are coronaviruses. It points out that if more people were tested, the fatality rate would absolutely tank. Want another doctor's opinion? Fine. Dr. Paul Offit, O-F-F-I-T-T, is the co-inventor of a vaccine for rotavirus, widely used by the CDC, and has had enough expertise in viruses, vax, and immunology that he has been granted the position of director at the Vaccine Education Center at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. He says of this situation, this year, in the United States, there are between 300,000 and 500,000 hospitalizations from influenza. We had between 20,000 and 45,000 deaths. Of those, 154 occurred in children. In the last 2 months since COVID-19 has been in the U.S., 20 children have died from influenza. Zero children have died from corona. I wish that every week they put up the numbers of deaths from influenza and the number of deaths from corona. We would realize that the influenza is far worse. But we don't quarantine. We don't cancel meetings or shut down schools, churches, and synagogues for the flu. I don't understand what the difference is. If these two viruses are likely to cause infection and disease, why are we treating one different from the other? What worries me is that our administration has recommended people to go to their doctors to get tested for corona. I think people with mild symptoms are going to their doctors wondering if they have corona. This is going to be a real impact on the American healthcare system. It will make it harder to get resources and harder to help people who really need it. I think what is going on here is causing far more harm than good. Hear that? A bunch of people who will probably be fine are overloading the healthcare system, causing more deaths from deadlier diseases. You're coming in with your corona concerns is actively making things worse. But everyone's panicking right now, and you know what that's doing? It is not flattening the curve, I'll tell you that. But the government is telling everyone to freak out and not leave their houses for fear of drone bombing an old folks' home with sick fire missiles. And those people are doing what they say and just begging them to handle in exchange for the rate of universal compliance. So how's the government dealing with it? to deal with domestic affairs. More than 11,400 National Guard troops have been mobilized. As of Wednesday of the week this article was posted, governors across all 50 states, Puerto Rico, Guam, and the U.S. Virgin Islands and D.C. have each mobilized components of their Army and Air National Guard. According to the Military Times, 8 states now approve the use of dual-status commanders, giving them the authority to command active and reserve component troops under control of a state's governor as a governor's response to the corona pandemic continues to evolve, so does the Guard's response. And continue on the beat of domestic military, the Trumpster has used the Defense Production Act to essentially nationalize a ton of corporations, forcing them to make masks, ventilators, and more, with his cabinet publicly celebrating how much of a war this feels like. Director of Trade and Manufacturing Policy, Peter Navarro, is now the policy coordinator for the Defense Production Act. And his take? We are engaged in the most significant industrial mobilization since World War II. We have a wartime president fighting an invisible enemy, and we have full force of government coupled with the full power of bearing down on this problem for the American people. But I thought the American people were that invisible enemy. How people are not accurately labeling this fascism is beyond me. Why are you not calling this fascism? I don't know. Were I not already heavily cynical about people's willingness to accept tyranny in times of pressure? Currently, the Guard is deployed under Title 32 status, but if that was not bad enough, people are seriously contemplating whether or not to federalize the National Guard under Title 10. Trump did this. He could use them to enforce federal edicts, and state governments could use them to enforce state laws and orders, which, by the way, they're already doing. Here in New Mexico, the National Guard has been used to enforce one of the governor's edicts to lock down a town called Gallup. That is supposedly now lifted, that lockdown, but I don't know. I don't think that's really been cleared yet. Anyway, they can also be used to suppress any insurrection. Suppress insurrection! Domestic violence, unlawful combination, or conspiracy. Meaning that if people got tired of this nasty shit, they could just put down any rebellion. Remember Kent State? It's like that. But everywhere. Speaking of schools, many states and D.C. have closed all schools. It lists all the various schools here, which I'm not going to read through. But, of course, they have. It's a war, remember? And since it's a war, it's time for a bunch of hawks to rear their beaky heads. Up to the plate is Bill de Blasio saying, "This is a case for nationalization." Literally, a nationalization of crucial factories and industries that could produce medical supplies to prepare this country for what we need. To Joy Reid, then telling CNN, "The federal government needs to take over the supply chain right now." After Maryland Governor Larry Hogan locked down his state, he said, "If a need for law enforcement action arises, we will take appropriate action." We are first conferencing with the state's attorneys and local law enforcement chiefs. All right. The article goes on. But I don't know. I've shared this and several, many others, letting you know that this stuff that's going on here, this is tyranny. This is all tyranny. It's absolute fucking tyranny. And they do want total enslavement, and they do want absolute nationalization. Fascism at its finest. And you're the one having to deal with it. I know, Zach. It's I need more water. Look up this author over there on the Twitter. Like I said, if you're on the Twitter, his name is Jeremiah Harding. He's a good person to follow. He puts up some really good posts, good information. He's a freedom loving dude. Hey, Chloe, well, just check out his stuff. Check out the rest of that article too. Man, I'm telling you, wow. And on to one of Moose Girl's favorite topics. Have you downloaded it yet? Have you put it on your smartphone as you walk around being tracked and traced everywhere you go? Well, you ought to, because it's possible. You may look out your window, peering out from your cell, and you'll see a neighbor out there doing something. Just out there. Just being out there. That's plenty. From Mass Private Eye. Mass Private Eye or Mass Private L? Mass Private Eye. .blogspot.com. This posted on, I don't know what day it was posted on. April. Sometime in April. All right. Police app encourages people to report neighbors who violate stay-at-home orders. Hey, I saw a person out on the street. Go get them. All right. How do you encourage people to turn against each other during the COVID-19 pandemic? The answer is not that complicated, especially if you live in the city of Bellevue, Washington. Four years ago, when the city created the My Bellevue app, it was touted as being a quick and easy way to report things like downed street signs, potholes, street lights, whatever, noise complaints, barking dogs. Fast forward to 2020, and public fears of corona have encouraged law enforcement to turn neighbors into government snitches. Yes, Smellview, Washington. GeekWire revealed that the Smellview Police Department has turned a public service app into a report on your neighbors app. You can report on these incidents through the My Smellview app on your electronic device or go on your website there, the My Bellevue portal. Police in Bellevue, Washington are asking residents to report violators. Oh, you dirty violators of the state's safe stay-at-home order online in an effort to clear up 9/11 lines for emergencies. A recent Associated Press article revealed that people are all too happy to report on their neighbors. Snitches are emerging as enthusiastic allies in cities, states, and counties work to enforce directives meant to limit person-to-person contact amid the corona-plandemic. And that has claimed tens of thousands of lives worldwide. They are phoning police and municipal hotlines, complaining to elected officials, shaming perceived scofflaws on social media. Fuck. What is wrong with people? How do they perceive this? How do they perceive being locked down as a good thing? Are they not checking out the fact that these lockdowns are actually causing more and more serious infections than if people went about their daily lives as normal people? Do they not understand that wearing a mask out in public as you go about your daily business is causing them direct harm? The research is out there. It's been done. Now, you're going to find the government telling you the opposite, but the government lies. You all know the government lies about everything. And they don't care about you. They don't want you to be healthy. They don't want you to live. So quit. Just stop it. Quit. This next article comes from an interesting website, blog site, darksidevaccines.com. Yes, it's the dark side of vaccines is the real name of it. They're not going to tell you the truth on that. Anyway, this is posted up here by Luke Yamaguchi on April 3rd. COVID-19, a tale of coincidences. And y'all, if you know me a little bit, you know that I don't believe in coincidences. It just don't happen. There's no such thing as a coincidence. There's no such thing as an accident. You may call it an accident, but somewhere up the line from that accident, somebody is responsible for it, or many somebodies, depending on the case. There's no such thing. And coincidences go on that same thing. The novel, coronavirus outbreak, COVID-19, has taken the world by storm. Countries around the globe have put their citizens on lockdown, locked up, imprisoned in their homes in an unprecedented attempt to show or slow the spread of the flu virus, which, again, increases the number of people that will wind up with more serious flu virus than if you let people just do their business. The potential economic ramifications of taking such extreme measures remain to be seen, but ultimately may be worse than infectious disease itself. In the wake of the panic, civil liberties are being dismantled at an alarming rate. I think they pretty much dismantled them all now. The U.S. Justice Department has reportedly asked Congress for the ability to detain people indefinitely without trial during emergencies. That sounds like justice. Daunting headlines in the news read, people intentionally spreading coronavirus could be charged with terrorism. 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 In at least one country, emergency legislation to force vaccinate people have been enacted. I think that's Denmark. Despite there being no vaccine to protect against the virus responsible for the outbreak. We don't have a vaccine, but we're going to force you to take it. Huh? The gravity of the situation seems to be accelerating at a very concerning rate. Amidst the coronavirus crisis, vaccine proponent Bill Gates wrote, eventually, we will have some digital certificates to show who has recovered or been tested recently, or when we have a vaccine, who has received it. Ooh, a digital certificate. How fancy. This statement by Gates prompts speculative internet articles entitled, Bill Gates will use microchip implants to fight coronavirus. 5 days prior to making the above statement, Gates stepped down from the board of directors at Microsoft and Berkshire Hathaway to dedicate more time to priorities including global health and development. With most of the world on lockdown, our civil liberties gone, not deteriorating rapidly, but gone, and impending digital certificates to track our vaccination records, it's worth reflecting on how all of this came to be. Man-made viruses. November 12th, 2015. A news article by the prestigious journal Nature states, an experiment that created a hybrid version of bat coronavirus, one related to the virus that caused SARS, has triggered renewed debate over whether engineering lab variants of viruses with possible pandemic potential is worth the risk. They're not. The researchers created the virus by combining a surface protein found in horseshoe bats in China with the backbone of the SARS coronavirus. According to the article, a virologist pointed out that the researchers have created a novel virus that grows remarkably well in human cells. If the virus escaped, the virus escaped, nobody could predict the trajectory. Did you ever read the book called The Stand by Stephen King? I think he perfectly predicted the trajectory. What is true, however, is that scientists created a novel SARS coronavirus, SARS-CoV, not the CoV-2, which is the one now, but they also did that one, in a lab that could replicate efficiently in human airway cells. Two of the co-authors of that study worked at the Key Laboratory of Special Pathogens and Biosafety at the Wuhan Institute of Virology in Wuhan, China. Coincidentally, in case you forgot somehow, Wuhan is the epicenter of COVID-19 global pandemic. Now, I saw somebody today trying to blame or call Italy the epicenter of corona. But no, it was not. It was released from the, it was intentionally released from the lab in Wuhan. Not by accident, by any stretch of the imagination. And is also home to the Wuhan National Biosafety Laboratory, a biosafety level 4 facility, cleared to work with the world's most dangerous pathogens, Chinese espionage. March 31st, 2019, scientists working at the Canadian National Microbiology Lab sent live Ebola and other deadly viruses on an Air Canada flight to Beijing, China. A few months later, two Chinese researchers were removed from the facility by the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, who are currently investigating the case. One of these Chinese research scientists removed from the lab had traveled to the Wuhan National Biosafety Lab to train scientists and staff at the Wuhan facility. By the way, there's documentation here on all of these statements. These aren't just random made-up statements. No, they are all fully documented. December 10th, 2019, a Chinese national was arrested at Boston Airport and charged with a criminal complaint for attempting to smuggle 21 vials of biological research to China. January 28th, 2020. The chair of the Department of Chemistry and Chemical Biology at Harvard was arrested and charged with a criminal complaint. The Harvard chemistry professor allegedly became a strategic scientist at the Wuhan University of Technology in China and was a contractual participant in China's Thousand Talents Plan, a program that seeks to reward individuals for stealing proprietary information. Frumpy is pointing out that one of them got an award from the government for her award-winning work at that lab also. And also, by the way, that Canadian lab they were talking about, the research being done there, was funded by if you're an American, Department of Defense. They were funding that bioweapon research up there at that Canadian lab. COVID-19 timeline. Yeah, you know, I'm not even going to go through all the Bill and Melinda Gates, Event 201. I've talked about that ad nauseum on prior shows, but it's all here in the article. The whole timeline has been talked over and again, and all the references are listed in the bottom of this article. Footnotes, if you will. It's absolutely been done to you and the world on purpose. So check out that article. Again, the link will be in the post show blog for anybody interested in that kind of stuff. Now, tying in this little chart, which I'm just going to give you the link to the chart. All it is, it's a link from speedtest.net showing you where the 5G has been rolled out across the world. It's everywhere. There's a ton of them. And it's so the timing of the 5G rollout as well as along with the corona stuff, it's not coincidental. As I pointed out earlier, there is no such thing as coincidence, just as there is no such thing as accident. This is planned. Highly planned. 9G. Oh, yeah, 9 anything is better than 5 anything. You got it, Zach. All right. Oh. Switching topics a little bit. Slightly. Okay, quite a bit. On the website BigThink.com, BigThink. When was this posted? The 2nd of April. All right. An artificial intelligence can read words in brain signals. Sounds dangerous, doesn't it? Researchers at UC San Francisco have trained an algorithm to parse meaning from neural activity. Participants' neural activity is collected as they speak 50 sentences. A machine learning algorithm develops a prediction of what the collected data means. The system accuracy varies, but the results are promising. It's just a start, but it's pretty exciting. A system that translates brain activity into text for those unable to physically speak, such as people with locked-in syndrome, for example. Hey, locked-in syndrome, I think everybody's got that now. This would be a life changer. Of course, that's not what they mean. That means it's people that are still conscious, but for whatever reason are unable to communicate. Right now, it's a bit like seeing through a heavy fog, but researchers at Chang Lab at the University of California in San Francisco have trained a machine learning algorithm to extract meaning from neuronal data. Joseph Makin, the co-author of this research, tells The Guardian, "We are not there yet, but we think this could be the basis of speech prosthesis." Speech prosthesis. The research is published in the journal Nature Neuroscience. Nature Neuroscience? Eavesdropping. To train their AI, Makin and co-author Edward Chang listened in on neural activity of 4 participants. As epileptics, each participant had a brain electrodes implanted for the purposes of seizure monitoring. The participants were supplied 50 sentences they were to read aloud at least 3 times. As they did, neural data was collected by the researchers. Audio recordings were also made. The study lists a handful of sentences the participants recited among them. These musicians harmonized marvelously. Marvelous. She wore warm, fleecy woolen overalls. That fleece is not a good thing for overalls. Anyway, those thieves stole 30 jewels. There is chaos in the kitchen. All right, those are just 4 examples of the sentences they read. The algorithm's task was to analyze the collected neural data and make predictions as to what was being said when the data was generated. data associated with nonverbal sounds captured in the participant's audio recording was factored out first. The researcher's algorithm learned pretty quickly to predict words associated with chunks of neural data. The AI predicted the data generated when a little bird is watching the commotion was spoken would mean the little bird is watching the commotion. So a double watching there for whatever reason. Quite close. While the latter was used in the rescue to rescue the cat and the man was predicted as which ladder will be used to rescue the cat and the man. So rather than the specific, it went to a question mode. The accuracy varied from participant to participant. Macon and Chang found that an algorithm based on one participant had a head start on being trained for another, suggesting that training the AI could get easier over time and repeated use. It's an interesting concept. Anyway, there is more to the article. If you're interested in this topic, I find it fascinating myself. But I'm going to move on. I got a lot more articles here. This article. Oh, what a loaded question. Do you trust this man? Bill Gates says chemtrails are good for us. April 6, 2020, creativedestructionmedia.com. Oh, God. Bill Gates has a bold new strategy to save the world. Chemtrails. Hey, air pollution has a new patron saint. The founder of Microsoft himself wants to fill the skies with sulfate particles released from specially designed aircraft flying in programmed patterns in the upper atmosphere. The purported goal, to reflect sunlight back into space, thus cooling the planet. So cool. Joe Campbell's not couldn't be more cool. It might, and they got a picture of, a big picture of chemtrails here. It might look something like this. Hey, it already looks something like that. The tinfoil hat brigade, welcome my brigade members, or brothers, or sisters, or whatever. The tinfoil hat brigade of chemtrail conspiracy theorists must feel an odd mixture of vindication and confusion. The very thing they have known for so long now is being touted as a cure for, of all things, global warming. Who elected you? Let's pause for a moment to consider why this story, originally reported in 2019 on the Gates Network, MSN.com, has resurfaced. Gates is under increased scrutiny since he decided to use his vast influence and wealth to fight the use of chloroquine and hydroxychloroquine as treatments for the new coronavirus. As CD Media has reported repeatedly, the drugs, in concert with astromycetin and zinc, defeat the virus at the RNA level by passing zinc through the cellular membrane. The tried, true, and inexpensive drugs that thwart the ability of pharmaceutical labs to profit. They thwart their ability to profit from the current outbreak. And that's bad for people like Gates. Gates is, of course, a major investor in the new expensive potential vaccines. He also wants everyone to get vaccinated with one of his traceable vaccines, going so far as to say that mass gatherings such as concerts, church services, and sporting events may not happen until you all take his poison. And tracking. Nobody can have fun until we consent to pay for a Gates-funded vaccine. Say what? Say what you will about this Messiah complex. He's a hell of a salesman. All right. Again, plenty more to the article. Links to the references involved. Holy hell! Oh, farts. I got a story coming up on that, too. If I get there in time. Oh, God. You're out of work. I'm feeling bad that you're out of work. Prior to 2020, were you a low minimum wage worker and out there boosting for Fight for 15 or whatever the hell the thing was? Too bad. So sad for you. April 10th, 2020, blacklistednews.com. Pandemic accelerating robot takeover, fueling unemployment crisis. Prior to the coronavirus outbreak, unemployment projections already forecast up to 20 million lost jobs due to the tech revolution by 2030. Robots are now replacing humans in response to the virus. Will the unemployed ever return to work? Seems unlikely. And this was originally reported back in 2016 by the Financial Times. Scientists have warned that rapid strides in the development of artificial intelligence, we just heard they could read your mind, and robotics threatens the prospect of mass unemployment affecting everyone from drivers to sex workers. Say what? Sex workers are going to be replaced by robots? Okay. A report from Oxford warned that up to 20 million jobs could be lost by 2030 due to advancing technology. Calls for cash handouts were already being made to respond to mass unemployment from the technological revolution. Elon Musk himself said in 2016, "There's a pretty good chance we end up with a universal basic income or something like that due to automation." In response to coronavirus, hospitals, grocery stores, and others are increasingly using AI and robotics. Hospitals, grocery stores, and other essential services, like sex workers, are enlisting robots in the fight against the corona outbreak, accelerating an already fast-growing market for workplace automation, industry analysts said. The deployments include both software and hardware robots. Robots do not need vaccines to return to work if mandatory shots are resisted by the masses. Are we on our way to a permanent universal basic income long promoted by leftists and transhumanists? Possibly. Kate posted an article here from McClatchy. Inmates trying to infect themselves with corona so they'll be freed. Shut-ins have a hard time competing with bots. Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do. Oh, God. What is this? Oh, from Vox.com, posted on April 10th. I've read the plans to reopen the economy. They're scary. There's no plan to return to normal. Normal? Over the past few days, and this is posted, what's his name? Oh, Ezra Klein. Ezra Klein on Vox posted this. All right. Over the past few days, I've been reading the major plans for what comes after social distancing. You can read them, too. There's one from the right-leaning American Enterprise Institute, the left-leaning Center for American Progress, Harvard University's Safra Center for Ethics, and Nobel Prize-winning economist Paul Romer. I thought, perhaps naively, that reading them would be a comfort. At least then I'd be able to imagine the path back to normal. But it wasn't. In different ways, all of these plans say the same thing. even if you can imagine the Herculean political, social, and economic changes necessary to manage our way through this crisis effectively, there is no normal for the foreseeable future. Until there's a vaccine. The United States either needs economically ruinous levels of social distancing, digital surveillance state of shocking size and scope, or a mass testing apparatus of even more shocking size and intrusiveness. The AEICAP, the Harvard plans, are not identical, but they're very similar. All of them feature a period of national lockdown in which extreme social distancing is deployed to flatten the curve, and the health and testing capacity is surged to raise the line. That's phase one. Phase two triggers after a set period, 45 days, 3 months, whatever, or in the AEI plan, after 14 days of falling cases. That seems to be the one they're going with right now, AEI plan. 14 to AEI, just so you remember, American Enterprise Institute, which is a right-leaning type thing. That seems to be the one they're supplying. 14 days of falling cases and a series of health supply markers. All of them then imagine phase two, which relaxes but does not end social distancing while implementing testing and surveillance on a massive scale. This is where you must begin to imagine the almost unimaginable. The CAP and Harvard plans both foresee a digital pandemic surveillance state. Digital pandemic surveillance state, in which virtually every American downloads an app to their phone that geo-tracks their movements. So if they come into contact with anyone who is later found to have corona, they can be alerted and a period of social quarantine can begin. And let me just say this about that. Everyone will eventually come into contact with everyone. Not directly, but through outside means, external means. Everyone contacts everyone on a regular basis. It just don't matter how far unsocially distanced you think you are. Similarly, people would scan QR codes when boarding mass transit or entering other high-risk public areas. Yeah, I'm going over today, guys. I'm going over. And GPS tracking could be used to enforce quarantine on those who test positive with the disease, as is being done in Taiwan. To state the obvious, the technological and political obstacles are massive. While similar efforts have borne fruit in Singapore and South Korea, the United States is a very different country, with a more mistrustful, individualistic culture. Already polling shows that 70% of Republicans and 46% of Democrats are strongly opposed using cell phone data to enforce quarantine orders. The CAP plan tries to answer these concerns, but in trying to imagine an answer, it shows the difficulty of the task. It's worth quoting the CAP proposal at length. The entity that hosts the data must be trusted. No data entities are trusted. Let me stop right there. Non-profit organization, why? I don't know. Not private technology companies or the federal government. I think they're talking about themselves, of course, but the app could be developed for a purely public health non-profit entity, such as the Association of State and Territorial Health Officials, ASTHO. Yeah, I'm not trusting them. An organization that represents state health officials, which would host the data. Congress or founders could provide funding to develop and operate the technology. There is no safe data storage technology. There is no safe data storage technology. There is no safe data storage technology. Shall I go on? States licensing the app. Why are they licensing an app if it's free? States licensing the app could provide ongoing operational funding to ASTHO, provided states receive federal funding. Why are the states providing funding if the feds are providing funding? Anyway, it's all ridiculous, but bear in mind, they're not wrong about the plans coming your way. I think I may have said something like that, Rob Works. There is no safe data storage technology. Yeah, it sounds similar. It sounds similar. Oh, all right. And just so you know, you're right on time, barman. Thanks. This one, you may have heard this somewhere, but I just want to reemphasize it here. Well, primarily because I'm using one of the words here as one of the hashtags in the title of this show. From the dailystar.co.uk, posted up there on 24th of April, 2020. Doctors say coronavirus could spread through farts, but experts think it's unlikely. A doctor has questioned whether farts could spread coronavirus after tests earlier this year and claimed to show the virus was present in feces. Another doctor said, yeah, probably not. Clarification, because that part of the probably not was not in there when they originally posted the story. So clarification they posted here. We've amended the headline on this story to make clear that while a doctor believes the virus could be spread through feces and farts, it's not been proven. And another expert claims highly unlikely. There is a chance, however, the deadly coronavirus bug could be spreading across the globe through farts, according to a doctor. Tests carried out earlier this year have shown that the virus was present in the feces of more than half of the patients with COVID. And a doctor has previously warned farts contain tiny poo particles that can spread bacteria. They said more research needed to be done. Count me out. I'm not in on that research. More research needed to be done to rule out passing the disease on to other people through omitting bodily gases. So when you blame it on the dog, TV doctor Xander Van Tulliken, who presented the CBBC series, Operation Ouch, as well appearing on a string of documentaries, raised the issue on social media. They got a picture here of a woman holding her nose as she sits in bed with her husband because he must have just farted and spread her the corona. He highlighted the work by Australian Dr. Andy Tagg, which he calls an enjoyable thread about whether farting can cause coronavirus. Very enjoyable. In his findings, Dr. Tagg cited tests carried out earlier this year, which showed 55% of patients with SARS-CoV-2 had it present in their shit. He said, well, SARS-CoV-2 can be detected in feces and has been detected in asymptomatic individual up to 17 days after exposure. However, William Shafter, medical director at the National Foundation for Infectious Disease and Infectious Disease Professor at Vanderbilt University, says don't hold him to that just yet. He believes the transmission of coronavirus through past gas has never been demonstrated. Don't mean it can't happen, just never been demonstrated. Oh, it becomes highly theoretical exercise to discuss it. He said, it is a very unlikely. And there's a picture of some woman holding her ass here. I right. Well, enough of that shit. Oh, my God. All right. That's going to wrap it up here for the Grim Leftovers show for today. I'll be back next week with episode 72. Yes, indeed, I'll be here on Friday night with the Moose Girl at 11 p.m. Eastern for the Freakers Ball. And on Sunday, I'll be here with the Blues at noon Eastern. Tomorrow, however, you get In a Perfect World with Flash Somebody and maybe with Grams or some other person co-hosting, co-hostaging there. No, it wasn't really a very nice pooter, Meister Ralph. I mean, it was all right. Except she was holding her ass like she really needed to go diarrhea or something, so that kind of took away from it. check the schedule on reallibertymedia.com for all the rest of the shows coming out through the week. If you want to do a show here on RLM Radio, contact me here either through the website or right here in the chat, and let me know, hey, I want to do a show. And I'll get you set up to go. Anything else? No. You know my typical refrain here. Stay away from people. Peace, y'all.